Well, good afternoon, everybody. It's Donna Partow, and I am so thrilled and just overjoyed to welcome you to the newest module in Women's Empowerment University, Stepping into Your Calling with Confidence. I just know with every fiber of my being, based on 50-some years on planet Earth, travel and ministry on six continents, meeting women all over the world, every daughter of the King of Kings has a specific call of God upon her life, every one of us. And you're not too young, you're not too old. I've seen small children. I remember being at a church and the drummer was 8 years old. And I remember my first speaking engagement. There was a 92-year-old woman whose parents had been sharecroppers sitting in the front row with a notebook. And I'm like, you're taking notes while I'm speaking? And she looked up at me and said, God spoke through a donkey, darling. I'm ready for anything. I mean, God still has a call. You're not too young. You're not too old. As long as you are listening to him, he has an assignment for you. Go ahead, check your pulse. I'll wait. Check your pulse. Okay, yeah, okay. Your heart's still beating. You're still breathing. Guess what? God still has work for you to do, because there's a glorious place, a place where there's no sorrow, no suffering, no more tears. It is a place of absolute joy and wonder looking into the face of our King. If there wasn't something for you to do, you would be there, because God loves you. And because God loves you, he would take you out of this world filled with sorrow and pain, and it'd have you up in heaven, which is your real home. So as long as you're here, you can wake up every day and know with confidence and absolute assurance, okay, still here, there must still be work for me to do. And in our last class, Deborah shared about going to a funeral of a man, I think he was in his 70s or whatever. He became a Christian a couple weeks before he died. And God used him in those final days, and especially in the letter, the farewell letter that he wrote to his family. So if you're still here, God still has work for you to do. He may have work for you to do on the last day of your life, and he has work for you to do every day between now and then. It might be giving a word of encouragement to your next-door neighbor, all the way to writing an international best-selling book. It doesn't matter the size of it. What matters is your faithfulness and your obedience to listen to him each and every day and say, okay, God, I know there's something that you've called me to do. I've been called according to your purpose, and I want to step into it. And the whole purpose of this class is to give you the confidence to step up and step out, because too many women are in the shadows. Too many women are, Christian women are in the background. I mean, the hour, sisters, it's dark. You know, all you have to do is turn on the TV. I don't encourage you to do that very often. But, you know, just once in a while, look on the TV, look on the Internet, look at the world around you. The darkness is getting darker. And that's why it's so important for us as Christians to step up into our call with confidence and be a light. Be a light. Let it shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. And that's what this class is all about. It's empowering you to discover what your call is, both the big picture call and the ability to step into the daily call, little bits with consistency, little steps of obedience. That's where the power is. They add up to a lifetime of kingdom achievement. I am so honored to have with me my BFF, my bestie, back on this journey with us. Let me go ahead and open us in prayer, and then I'm going to introduce you to my co-host for the daytime calls in this series. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that every person that you created was created with a DNA and a destiny. Yeah, a DNA and a destiny. And I know that there are women on this call because they're just chomping at the bit. They're like, they know it. They feel it. They've tasted it. They're like, yes, God, yes, there's destiny in me, and I want to step into it. I'm ready. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. And there are other women on the call, and they've lived their life really as their own worst enemy. And they've allowed the criticism and critique and negativity of people in their life and the skepticism of the culture to convince their heart that there's no destiny in them, but yet there's that glimmer of hope. And they thought, you know what, I'm going to click the button. I'm going to give it a try. Father, I thank you that you have a message and a plan for each and every woman. There's DNA and there's destiny in every woman enrolled in this class, and I know that you're going to meet them here, and you're going to do amazing things. I thank you so much for technology. I thank you for telephones and laptops and iPads and iPhones and MP3s and all the technology that's available today that we're able to use to advance your kingdom. I pray your blessing upon this class. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, ladies and gentle people, I bring to you today my BFF, my bestie, the blonde one, Deborah Lovett. Deborah Lovett is an author. She's a speaker. She's a woman with a tremendous gift of faith and wisdom. Deborah came to one of my conferences, we think it's either 16 or 17 years ago in Ohio. She was the last woman in the building. I went and sat with her. We ended up talking. She invited me to her church where she was women's ministry director. She plied me with scones and little special creams and treated me like a princess. So I dropped hints and she invited me back. Came back a second time and we began just a lifelong friendship. And now we are excited. This is our second class together, a ministry partnership. It's something that we've talked about literally for a decade and a half, and it's so exciting to see it coming to pass. And we haven't killed each other yet. We're still here. We're on to our second class. Deborah Lovett, welcome back.
Thank you. It's so good to be back. I miss my girls.
I know. We've been going through withdrawal.
What?
We've been going through withdrawal.
I know, because we all get to know each other on this Facebook group. It's like the most phenomenal thing. And then the Facebook group kind of gets a personality of itself. And everybody gets to make friends on there. And it's just been amazing. The journeys have been amazing. And my favorite part, of course, is listening to my bestie teach, because she's the most fabulous teacher I've ever heard. So you guys are all going to be blessed. Your socks are just going to be completely blessed, and you're going to walk away with so much, not only information, but transformation in your heart, and there's no doubt in my mind about it. So I hope you'll be on the call every day.
And then you'll invite them to your house.
Yes, we have a party after each class. We are having a party, actually, from the last class, and you ladies that are on this call are invited too, but it's coming up quickly. It's on May 4th. And if you're interested in that, I wasn't going to bring it up this early, but if you're interested in it, it's on the website, so you can go check it out.
Party at my BFF's house.
Yeah.
See, you're used to me inviting myself and my family. Now I'm inviting everyone.
I love it.
I know you do. You have the gift of hospitality, so it's fine. Well, sisters, we're on a journey to confidence. And for those of you who are those A-plus students, you've already opened the e-book. And you've probably already figured out there's an acronym. I'm like an acronymaholic. People who were in the first class, which was empowering you to break through, know that I lost my glasses right when the class started, so I couldn't read and I couldn't write, so I had a big whiteboard and colored markers, so I would make up an acronym every day and teach the acronym. I'm an acronym fanatic, so I've been at this since 1996 when I wrote this book, probably 1994 when I wrote it, but I had an acronym, CONFIDENCE, and we'll just kind of go over that real quick. CONFIDENCE, C, we are called according to His purpose, O, open to His plan, N, nourished by His love, F, free from the chains that bind, I, increasingly conformed to His character, D, daily in His word, E, energized by faith, N, not shaken by the jerks. And for those of you who are like, oh, Is that a bad word? I want you to know that that is from the original Greek. The Greek word is jergoopolis, and so that is a biblical term. So it's okay. I'm allowed to say not shaken by the jerks. If you would rather call them critics, cynics, whatever, you know who they are. They're out there and they're waiting for you. C is convinced that God is both able and faithful, and then E is eager to take the leap of faith. So that's going to be our acronym for these 21 days. Confidence might be kind of fun for those of you who like to memorize things. You can memorize that and you will have an overview of what it takes to live with confidence. I do want to go ahead and give you an overview of the class format so you know what we have in store for us over these 21 days. There will be live teaching on weekdays, and then on the weekends you can continue reading in your ebook, which is divided into 21 days of subjects. And Deborah and Deanna may also be giving you homework assignments for the weekend as well, but you will always have your reading in the book on Saturday and Sunday, but there will not be live classes. Of course, the Facebook group is live 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. In addition to the ebook that you received upon registration, at the end of the course, you're going to receive a second ebook with all of the course recap of all of the course material that was taught on the live calls, along with the links of both the daytime and evening sessions. It's going to be 300 pages, because the last one was 200 pages, and we're going to have even more material. So this is going to be a big monster workbook that you're going to take away from you, and it's just a tremendous value for $31. Those of you who are asking, how can they afford to do this? We really can't. We're sowing this as seeds into the body of Christ, and we're sowing this into seeds of faith into the foundation of Women's Empowerment University, and that's why these early classes are so affordable, and you women who are in early are just getting super-duper blessed. Deborah and I will be here on the 1 p.m. daily call. I'll be providing biblical teaching, practical directives, action steps. My methodology has become really simple. I lay on the floor of my office until God gives me something to give to you. And as I said, that began when I lost my glasses during the first class and I couldn't read or write, and it just has become kind of a cool little tradition. We continued through the second class. It seemed to work well. So pray for me as I pray to Him that I will be faithful to proclaim what He gives me, that fresh manna each day as I lay on my floor, that God will give me a fresh word for you. I have God confidence that He's going to be faithful to continue to do that. You know, it's funny. We're just going to let God lead. We have provided you with a lot of material. You've got, the 21-day ebook. Deanna has put together an overview of what she's covering. Deb's going to share in a minute what she's got in mind for you. But just as an example, with the class, Soul at Rest, Body in Motion, we thought it was going to be one thing. We thought it was going to be primarily about weight loss. But God had something completely different in mind, and it was powerful. We just went with it. Deborah and I were saying we really do want to do a Soul at Rest, Body in Motion special weight loss edition. But Deb, were you amazed at the direction, how God just kind of took that class over and took it where He wanted it to go?
I was definitely amazed. I mean, it went a completely different direction than we ever saw it going, but it really was a good lead up to this class, I think.
It was. It was an absolute setup. And God knows, and this is really, really critical for all you ladies to understand, God handpicked you to be part of this class. He handpicked each and every one of you, and He set you in a group of women intentionally. He put all of this, we've seen it every time. God puts together the women He wants. And yeah, He includes and He excludes. It's been fascinating to see. That's why, ladies, it's so important for you to understand. That's the benefit of the group coaching. Now, there are benefits to personal coaching, and soon that's coming. In a few months, I'm going to start offering personal coaching specifically for those who want to write books or want to have a speaking ministry. I'm going to start making that available. It's not available yet. But right now what we're offering is group coaching, and it's so important for you ladies to understand. There's a special blessing in that as well, and it's that God appoints all the people who are going to be in it, and they've got strengths, and they've got insights, and they've even got issues that as you see God dealing with their issues, you're going to be like, wow, I'm seeing the same thing in me. So it's a powerful, powerful dynamic, and don't miss out on it. That's why it's really important to be here for the calls and to stay through the end. When we open up the phone lines and we begin to pray for individuals, don't think, well, I'm not gonna, you know, unmute myself and say anything, so I'll just leave the call now. Don't do that, because God very often will speak to you as he's speaking through us to someone else in the class. Deb, how many times did you see that?
Oh, I just was amazed. I'm not kidding you.
People
would say it on the Facebook. Yeah, they would. It would be daily, and then people would be on the Facebook, I'm so glad you asked that because that spoke to my heart. I mean,
mm-hmm.
We saw it every single day.
Mm-hmm. And you will. And that's why, and that brings up the Facebook group. So important. Do connect with a Facebook group. Don't step outside of what God's created here. In other words, this is a group coaching class. Don't step out of that and say, well, I think I'll send private emails. I think I'll send private Facebook messages to Deb or Donna or Deanna. That's not what we're offering here, and it's not what God has planned. So don't step out of what God is blessing. God is blessing this group coaching environment. He's blessing the class. So stay in the class. Stay in the classroom, stay plugged into the calls, stay plugged into the end of the calls, and be active on that Facebook group. That's where the power is. And if you can get to Deb's house on May 4th, absolutely do that, because it's all about God right now is moving. He's moving dynamically. He's moving corporately. That's the word that I was searching for. What else did I want to say? Yeah, Deb, do you want to? I'm going to ask you to go into more depth later in the call, but just a few sentence overview of what you're going to be covering in our afternoon times together.
Okay. In the afternoon time, I'm going to be covering two things. One will be a name of the Holy Spirit. I think that we are a lot of us at least, are familiar with the names of God. And a lot of us can name Jesus off the top of our head in many different names of him. But I don't think that we're familiar enough with the names of the Holy Spirit. And he's the giver of the spiritual gifts. And so every day I would like to cover one spiritual gift. And by the end of today, hopefully, you ladies will all know what your spiritual gifts are. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in a couple of minutes.
Cool. And to be honest, Deb, I never thought about names of the Holy Spirit. I've been a Christian for, 33 years? Never even came on my radar screen. So I'm excited to hear what you're teaching. And then in the evening, Deanna Allen and I will be on hand at 9 p.m. It's not the same phone number, so make sure you're aware of that in our session that we're calling Deep Calls to Deep. And that's when we're going to really a time of personal prayer. Deanna's going to really be operating in her greatest gift, which is her ability to really hear what the Lord is saying today. Amazing gifting. So she'll share a devotional from that, and then we're going to open that up. That's going to be the time for personal prayer. We'll do some of that during the day, but I think the daytime is going to be more practical, coaching, problem solving, troubleshooting, and some prayer in the evening is going to be more about digging deep into prayer. And then there will be the audio playbacks immediately available after class by telephone. We've posted what the playback numbers are, so you just, as soon as this call is over, you can wait 5 minutes, dial the playback number, the same PIN, and you can listen to this call again. If you have to, you know, if you want to hear it again, or if you missed it live, sometime after 2:15, 2:30, you can dial in and you'll get the latest afternoon call. Same with the evening program. And then as soon as we can, we'll post it up so that you can listen on your computer or on downloadable MP3. Ah, my page notes are out of order. We'll usually have that within an hour or two. And the Facebook group, as I said, that's the place to be. Now, I'm going to be honest. I have to, you know, we may as well just, Bestie, I think we're going to have to get this out of the way up front. I did my spiritual gifts testing, and I sent you the results. Mercy. Where did I rank on mercy? Did you notice?
I'm not telling.
It was a two. It was a two. So
So in other words, ladies, if you need compassion and mercy, come to me. Donna will pat you on, she will push you around and I will pat you on the back, okay?
You know, listen, God gave different gifts to get different people, and it's going to be so fun. Deb in a few minutes is going to share a link, right? You're going to share that today, Deb, link that we want all of you to go to and do your spiritual gift test. I did mine yesterday, actually, sitting in church waiting for the service to start. I got there an hour early, long story. And, Mercy was a two. Just to give you a perspective, my discernment gift was 24. My teaching gift was 24. My knowledge gift was 21. But mercy was 2. So as we said in the last class, one of my favorite movies is Miracle. It's about the 1980s hockey team that beat the Russians. There's a great line in it. The guy, the coach says to them, I'll be your coach. I won't be your friend. And so that's I will be your coach. I will bring out the best in you if you will let me. I will beat the tar out of you if I need to. I will be your coach, and I will empower you to step into your calling and to go higher than you ever dreamed you could, but I'm not going to be your friend, okay?
I'm not
here to feel. Yeah, that's why Deb is here. See, that's why we have the blonde one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's her role. I'm not here to feel sorry for you. I'm here to spur you on. If you need someone to feel sorry for you, please refer to Blondie. All right, good. Don't email me. Don't Facebook me. Don't do it, people. Not going to answer you. Sorry. Just being honest, ladies. Deb, tell them how you're going to feel sorry for them.
I already feel sorry for them. What do you mean how I'm going to feel sorry for them? No, seriously, ladies, seriously. We love every single one of you, and we just... you know, we just want to make sure that everybody stays within the parameters of the group coaching and keeps it on the Facebook group. So I think we made our point. The other point is that I'm going to love on you and be your friend.
Deanna might have some mercy, too.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll have to test her. Yeah,
so.
The evening is really going to be the time. Actually, Deanna really does have a heart for the broken. Her primary ministry is prison ministry to women who are just so broken. And so she really does have a heart for that. So we do have that available for you in the evenings. You can call in and get your personal prayer. So I want to give you just kind of an overview. This class began as a 10-week study on walking in total God confidence. I've recrafted that into 10 steps that we're going to cover over 21 days. So 10 weeks compacted into 21 days. See, that's why God had to handpick such a sharp group of ladies, right? Not the average bear can make it through 10 weeks of material in 21 days. But God picked you, so I know you can do it. We're going to have a lot of material to cover. So I'm just going to give an overview of where we're going to be going. Step one, confidently believe that God has a specific call on your life, a specific big picture call and a specific daily call. He's got something he wants you to do in your lifetime, something he wants you to do this year, this month, this week, today, and we're going to break it down. Those are some of the skills that we learned in our last class. Those of you who were through it, you are going to be ahead of the game because you understand the overview that I just gave. It begins with but goes beyond godly character and, you know, the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life. Yeah, part of the call on your life is to be a godly woman, to spend time in His Word, to go to church, to be part of a local body of believers, to grow in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, to grow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Deborah is going to be talking about. That's all part of it. But within that, there's a specific call on your life. And all the different things that God has put together are clues pointing you to that. Your temperament, your birth order, your spiritual gifting, all of those are clues. Your life experience, your passions, your book collection, your favorite TV show might even be a clue. But there are clues that God has planted throughout your life that are pointing you to the call. Even your pain. You know, how did Deanna Allen have a get her call to prison ministry. Her brother committed suicide behind bars, and that profound life experience was part of God's call upon her life. So those things that have broken you are a clue to what God is calling you to. One of the things we brought out in the last class is that envy is a huge clue, huge clue. You know, I've never been jealous of a doctor. I've never been jealous of anyone with a 9-to-5 job. I've never been jealous of anybody driving a motorcycle. I've never been jealous of anybody with, I could go on. I am jealous of people who have what I want, who have the desires of my heart. I have that twinge of jealousy when I hear someone, when I hear someone talking about the latest country they've traveled to and the ministry that, you know, they went to Africa and 10,000 people came to Christ and they put in, well, that's when my heart's like, that twinge of jealousy, that's not a sin, that's a clue. Now, if you indulge it, it's a sin. But what do you envy? What do you hear? And you're like, oh man, wow, you're teaching a Bible study in your home and you've got 20 people coming. Oh, that's what I want. Those are clues. And that's one that we're going to go on these treasure hunts. We're going to go clue hunting. What are all those things, those signposts that God has placed along the way of your journey that are clues pointing the way to the specific call he has on your life? And step two is really opening your heart to his plan, because it might just surprise you. You may have a specific idea of what your life should look like and what God should do, and that really can become a huge, huge barrier to what God really wants to do. And so you've got to be really open. Again, when tragedy strikes, when life throws us for a loop, we need to be open that maybe God is bringing into our life a course correction. So some of you, in these past few years, so many people have experienced tremendous loss. And because God wants us as his people to be the ones to minister to those who've lost so much, whether it's losing their job, losing their home, losing their children to the world, they become prodigals, God, in his wisdom, allows some of us to have that twinge of the pain that pierces the heart of those around us. And then he calls us to comfort others with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. You know, Deborah Lovett was not sitting in her house 10 years ago thinking, you know what, I think maybe we'll just burn this house down and then I'll be able to really have a ministry calling other women to rise up out of the ashes. She never could have guessed that. It was not on her radar screen at all. But because she kept her heart open to his plan, when in fact her house did burn down, and God brought her through that, out of that, she discovered the highest calling for her life, which is calling other women to arise up out of the ashes. So stay open to what God wants to do. Then step three is experiencing God's love. The only thing that can compel you in a way that's compelling enough to keep you going in your calling is God's love. Christ's love compels us. If you're running on any other type of fuel, you're going to burn out. Again, something we covered extensively in the prior class, so some of you have a head start. But we'll kind of dig into this. What's fueling you? What's driving you? Is it to prove something to somebody, or a sense of duty or obligation? Christ's love has got to be the thing that's driving us. Step four is to get radically set free from anything that's been holding you back. Again, that's where we began, with empowering you to break through, but we're going to continue pressing into that. Those things that hold us back, the approval trap, comparison trap, fears, insecurities, self-doubt, being our own worst enemy. God wants to set you free from all of that so that you can press on. Then step five is getting radically, step four. Step five is becoming more and more like Jesus. You know, Jesus walked through each day with ease. You never get the sense that he was frantic or panicked, or he just had this confidence that if he walked with God, listening to the Father's voice day by day, he'd be able to say, hey, you know, I finished the work that my Father gave me to do. I didn't finish the work that everybody would have liked for me to do. I'm sure there were plenty of blind people who were still blind when he went back up to heaven, plenty of lame people who were still lame. He only preached in one country. I mean, there were nations and continents that he didn't get to, so he didn't get to everything that could conceivably be done. But everything that the Father had for him to do in his lifetime, he finished that work. And sisters, you know, you will make yourself crazy if you look at everything that needs to be done on planet Earth. That's one of the reasons why, you know, don't watch the news. We're gonna cover that in step five. Don't even go there. I mean, if something major happens, you know, maybe check into World Magazine or a reliable Christian website that gives you updates. That, you know, to just inundate yourself all day, every day with what's wrong with the world, it's gonna make you crazy. What we need to do is become like Jesus, listen to Jesus, and walk through our lives with ease, trusting him to direct our steps to that work, those areas where we really can make a difference, and not get ourselves distracted with all the things that need to be done that are not our assignment. I'm talking, that I was just preaching for myself. If you want to listen in, that's fine. Then step six, we're going to get, don't laugh too loud, bestie. Step six is to develop better Bible study and devotional habits. Oh, this is where my bestie is really going to be able to help us. I'm going to make her teach one of those days because she has such wonderful personal discipline. One of the things I admire most about Deborah is that she manages her life extremely well. She lives beautifully. She lives with order and discipline much more than I do, and I love that about her. So I'm going to make her teach one of those days about how to really develop better Bible study and devotional habits. Step seven, we're going to go into tapping into the energy. You know, of course, all the world has its counterfeits, you know. So when you hear the world talking about the energy and the karma and the vibe and the beauty, they're just counterfeiting the real thing, that real supernatural energy that comes from God that is real, the supernatural energy of the Holy Spirit empowering us. We don't have to be drained by self-doubt and low self-esteem and fear and all these things. We can tap into a supernatural energy supply, and that's not New Agey at all. That is biblical. So we'll talk about how to be energized by our faith and how to catch those energy drainers when they start coming in and just, you know, put the kibosh on them. And then step eight is learning how not to be shaken by the skeptics and the critics. This is a big one for me. I mean, we all face detractors. Sisters, oh my God, you know what? Don't even get me started. The hate mail, it's crazy. You will have detractors. Look at poor Rick Warren. Oh, my heavenly days. He just spoke at our church this week. My daughter attended his church when she lived in L.A., and he just spoke at our church this week. It was his first event since the suicide of his son, and he ended up coming by Skype, not live, but he did keep the commitment, which I thought was amazing. But, you know, look what he went through. His son killed himself, and that was a clue for people to, like, unleash torrents of hate on him. So, listen, when you step out in this world, in this, you know, environment today and take a stand for righteousness and try to be obedient to what God is calling you to do, you will face skeptics and critics and detractors and hate mail. I mean, it's just going to be incredible. How do you not let that shake you? Well, we can all learn that together because that's one I'm still working on. Step nine, to become absolutely convinced that God is both able and faithful to empower you to do what he's called you to do. That's from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they're like, you know what? God is able. And even if he doesn't, you know what? We're still not going to bow to you. We know that God can do whatever he wants to do, and he's got our back. He's watching out for us. He has our best interest in heart. So whether things work out the way we want them to or not, we're not going to be shaken. We're not going to be shaken. We're not going to have an agenda. We're not going to decide in advance how exactly this whole thing should unfold and be committed to it. One of my favorite quotes is from Cece Murphy. He said that I am passionately involved in the process and emotionally detached from the outcome. Oh, I need to put that in bolder letters above my office. Be passionately involved, sisters, in following Christ day by day. Be passionately involved in pursuing your calling, but be emotionally detached from the outcome. So I don't care how it turns out. I just need to be obedient. And then step 10 is taking a leap. My goal, my prayer, my vision is to actually see some of you ladies stepping into that calling, yeah, even the big picture calling before these 21 days are through. And I have a feeling that the very next class in Women's Empowerment University, one of the things I suspect God is going to have me do next is going to be more of a private coaching thing. It's going to be a smaller, more intimate group just with me, and it's going to be just for those ladies in this group who make it to step 10. Now, yep, you heard it here first. I just made that up right now. That is definitely a word from him. And don't forget to, by the way, join us tonight. We'll be praying. We'll begin praying over your calling. If you really want to step into that calling, I urge you, make sure you're on both the AM and PM call. You know, even as you've been listening to me give you the overview this morning, you're probably thinking of someone you know who needs this class. It's not too late for them to enroll. Post this to your Facebook page. Invite everyone you know. They can join throughout the week. To be honest with you, you know, Deb, remember the last class? People were joining up until, like, literally the last day. People were still signing up.
Yes, I remember. Well, because you can still go back and start over whenever you want.
Exactly. They have that ebook that has all of the material, and they have it for life. So for the rest of your life, you can listen to this over and over again as much as you want to. Deb, why don't you go ahead and share with us today what you're doing, you know, whatever God has given you for today about the Holy Spirit and the gifts. I know you want to give them an overview and whatever he has.
Yeah, I just want to give an overview today of what we'll be covering, you know, these next 21 days or 20 days since today is one of them. And again, I go back to the fact that I think many people are familiar with the names of God, like Yahweh, maker of all things, the I Am, Shepherd, the Potter, our Father, El Shaddai, Redeemer. I mean, those are just to name a few. But a lot of us can roll those names off the top of our tongue. And when it comes to Jesus, we think of the bread of life, the living water, the Prince of Peace, the Alpha and Omega, the author of life, God's Son, the King of Kings, the Lamb of God, Messiah, bright and morning star, the Word, the Gate, and our salvation, just to name a few. But again, I believe the Holy Spirit gets a bum rap. And yet, he's the one that Jesus left here for us after he ascended into heaven. In John 14:25, it says this, "All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." So it says right there that, you know, Jesus is saying that the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit after Jesus ascends into heaven. And then John 16:7 says, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor, being the Holy Spirit, will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." So he must be pretty important for Jesus to say it is for our good that he was leaving so that the Holy Spirit could take his place here on earth. That's a pretty amazing statement. So for the next 21 days, we are going to go over one name of the Holy Spirit every day so that you can learn to know who the Holy Spirit is, because the names tell us who he is. I mean, a name tells you who someone is and a lot about them when you think of someone. You know, you think of their name and you think of who they are, especially if you know them. So that's what we're going to be determined to do over these next days and weeks, is to find out who the Holy Spirit is by his names. And then, because the Holy Spirit is the giver of the gifts that we were talking about, that Donna said her gift was discernment and teaching and knowledge. Well, those are gifts. They're spiritual gifts. And many times we think of gifts as the fruit of the spirit gifts, like love, joy, peace. Those are actually fruits. What we're going to be talking about are the gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit are important when it comes to talking about your calling in life, because your calling is going to be directly coincide with your gifting. In other words, God's not going to give the gifting of servanthood or serving to someone like me who doesn't know how to cook or doesn't even like to cook. You know, I mean, I'm just not like that, you know. But there's other women that just love to cook, and they love to bake a pie and take it to someone that's sick. So it's really important to know what your gifting is. So we're going to be studying one name, one gift each day. And the reason we're going to study those gifts is because 1 Corinthians 12:1 says this, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant." So God deliberately tells us in his word that we are not to be ignorant of our gifts. Gifts are supernatural abilities given by the Holy Spirit to a person at the moment of his or her salvation or during the filling of the Holy Spirit or when prayed for. And there are 18 spiritual gifts that are listed in three different sections of the Bible. Now I'm going to go through and tell you what those 18 gifts are just to kind of wet your whistle. Administration, apostleship, discernment, evangelism, exhortation, faith, giving, healing, serving, tongues, knowledge, faith, mercy, miracles, teaching, prophecy, pastoring, wisdom, and interpretation of tongues. That is a lot of gifts, ladies. And now for the great part, you have one of those gifts. If you are a Christian and you have received Christ, I guarantee you that you have a gift. You might have a gift that you don't know about, or you might have a couple of gifts that you don't know about, or you might have a gift that you do know about, but you just don't know how to use it. Those are the things that we're going to be covering. The purpose of our spiritual gifts is to glorify God and edify his church. You know, I just think about the church today and how many people are sitting on the sidelines. You know, we're not supposed to have spectators in church. There's no spectators allowed. We're all supposed to be using our gifts in unison. That's what makes the body of Christ the body of Christ. And so that's what we're really going to be learning and concentrating on in these next days. So your homework for tonight, and I know you're so excited, you're chomping at the bit, is that you want to know what your gift is, right, or your gifts. So I'm going to give you a link right now, and then I'm going to post it on the Facebook page for you to take the test for yourself. The link is www.spiritualgiftsplurtest.com. www.spiritualgiftsplurtest.com. And I will post that on the Facebook page as soon as we are finished here. So you want to go to that website and go up to the top and hit adult test. Don't take the child test. Take the adult test. Hit adult and answer the questions. At the end, it will give you what your gifts are. Now, this is a quick way to find out. There are other ways. There are books that you can read. There are, you know, you can pray and ask for gifts. I mean, there's a lot of different ways, but this is going to give us a starting point. And Donna and I both took the test, and we thought it was very accurate. My number one gift was faith, which, if anybody knows me, I mean, that's like right on. And my second gift was wisdom, and the third was teaching. And so they were right on for Donna and I both. And so we're excited for everybody to take the test. What we'd like for you to do after you take the test is to go to the Facebook page and share with us what your top three gifts are so that we can get to know everybody that way before we get to know everybody else a different way. We're going to get to know what everybody's gifts are, which is going to be really, really interesting, and I can't wait. So that is just about all I have to share today.
It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, even just yesterday taking the test and you and I going back and forth and joking about it, it is both energizing and liberating. It's energizing when you see what your top three gifts are and you're like, yeah, you're right, that's so cool. But it's also liberating when I look at my bottom three. I'm like, you know, no wonder. Those are things that I'm not good at. And so those are areas where I need to have other people in my life who are strong where I am weak. And that is just as important. Both things are important, to know what we are good at so we can operate in those gifts and be strong and be strong on behalf of others. That's what God wants us to do as the body, you know, lift one another up, but also being humble enough and mindful enough to say, you know, there are certain things that I'm just not good at, and that's okay, because it's only pride that thinks, oh, I should have all, did you say 18?
Yes.
Yeah. 18. Only, yeah, it's only pride that says, well, why don't I have all 18 of these? You know, nobody has all 18. We all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. And really walking in God confidence is accepting both. It's accepting that he's put us together the way he has for a reason. Oh, we are just so running out of time, but I did want to do a little quick teaching for day one, which was self-confidence versus God confidence. And I admitted in today's reading my lifelong battle with insecurity and low self-esteem. And the only thing that I'm truly confident of is that I will blow everything up that I touch unless God saves me from myself. And the huge revelation that God has given me, really especially in the past year and through the breakthrough class, is that insecurity is really just pride masquerading in a more palatable form. I'm just insecure. I can't teach. I can't do this. I can't do the other. Well, no, of course you can't do everything. You've got three of those great gifts. Don't expect to have all 18. And that's one of the areas that I think probably God is going to continue to deal with throughout this class, because insecurity is epidemic. I covered it in the teleseminar. God confidence is absolute assurance that God can do whatever he wants through whomever he chooses. He's God. He gets to decide. And when God planned your life, he factored you into the equation. Isn't that an amazing thought? When God planned your life, he knew what you were going to, you know, he knew what your weaknesses were going to be, and he mapped it out accordingly. And so the more we know about God, our increased knowledge of God will inevitably lead us to increased confidence in God. And on this journey, these 20 days, we're not going to be seeking confidence so much as we're going to be seeking God. And I just want to really share with you this one thought today. We don't need to sit around thinking, well, what can I do for God? Jesus himself said this, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. That's John 5:19. You know, I've spent so many decades trying to do great things for God. And even though I was completely sincere, most of my grand endeavors ended up with disappointment and confusion. And I don't remember when, you know, if I was in my 30s probably, but my life changed forever when I finally realized I don't have to do anything for God. Now, you know, don't panic. I'm not saying you should sit in your house eating bonbons, watching TV. Just stay with me here. I'm saying this. God doesn't need our help, okay? To borrow a phrase from my best-selling book, Becoming a Vessel God Can Use, there's no such thing as a vessel God can't do without. He's the sovereign God of the universe. He doesn't need our help. He doesn't need our suggestions, but he wants our obedience. See, God chooses to give us the privilege of participating in his work. It's not that we have to. It's that we get to. We get to. And so often when we're busy trying to drum up stuff we can do for God and how we can serve God, what we're really doing is pursuing our own agenda. I know that's what I was doing way too often. It's almost as if we're saying, well, I don't need to consult God. I know what needs to be done around the church. I know what needs to be accomplished in my life, and I'll just run off and do it. This used to be a slogan in the church, find a need and fill it. I actually hate that. Because it may be a need that God wants left unmet for his own reason, so that that person will turn him to meet a need that only he can fill. You know, we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Or we can simply be busy saying yes to projects and yes to people and have no time or energy left to say yes to God. You know, we can't be in two places at one time. And it's very often we're saying yes to people and we're actually saying no to God. Picture it like this. You know, you might be this faithful, hardworking servant. You're teaching Sunday school little fifth graders. You know, in the beginning, you're excited. you're going to have the greatest class in the history of the church, and you're not going to give up easily. You're going to be in there. You're buying materials with your own money. You lie awake at night coming up with ways to reach the kids, but no matter what you do, the kids don't respond. And the parents don't appreciate you. The pastor doesn't appreciate you. You're frustrated. You want to strangle those kids. And the whole irony, you're busy slaving away with the fifth graders because there was a need for a fifth grade teacher. God's, you know, clearing his sword saying, excuse me, Susie, I can see you're busy doing some great things for me. You found the need and you're filling it. I appreciate that. But if you would set down that burden and step over here for a moment, I have work I want to accomplish through you. Work that I prepared and ordained before the foundation of the world. And if you would simply take my yoke upon you, you'd find that it's light and easy. You'd discover that I'm meant for you to experience the joy and fulfillment that can only come when you yield your life completely to me, when you allow me to accomplish through your life what I've ordained. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. That's John 4:34. It's not our work. It's not work that needs to be done. It's his work. The Christian life is not about what we have to do and what we have to get done for God. It's about what we get to do. It's about the privilege of just being a vessel through whom God can work. And I know this might sound like semantics, but it's really not. It's the difference between working for God and allowing God to work through you. It's the difference between pouring yourself out and wearing yourself out in the process and simply allowing that living water to pour forth through you. See, there's freedom. There's incredible freedom here. It takes the pressure off and replaces it with joy. It eliminates the pressure to perform, the pressure to win people to Jesus. See, God will, if we lift up Jesus, he will draw all people to himself. It's not about have-tos, sisters. It's about get-to. It's not a burden. It's a privilege. You know, if I were to sum it up, I'd say forget about the obligations and responsibilities and rules of Christian living and just focus on your love relationship with God. That's what this class is about. Hannah Whittle Smith wrote this in The Christian Secret of a Happy Life. Here, Lord, I abandon myself to you. I have tried in every way I could think of to manage myself and make myself what I know I ought to be, but I have always failed. Now I give it up to you. Take entire possession of me. Work in me all the good pleasure of your will. Mold and fashion me into such a vessel as seems good to you. I leave myself in your hands, and I believe you will, according to your promise, make me into a vessel unto your honor, sanctified and fit for the master's use, prepared for every good work. You know, as we think about the way that we've approached the Christian life, have we lived as somebody who has to serve God or as someone who gets to be used by him? It's about relationship. Your connection with God. I shared this in the teleseminar about obedience. Obedience simply means literally to listen with great attention. See, without listening, obedience is literally impossible. Busyness is possible. Activity is possible. Hard work is possible. Accomplishment is possible. Obtaining human approval is possible. But obedience is impossible. Because obedience is, by definition, listening with great attention and then just going where God directs. Then because we've clearly heard from him, God's love will compel us to do whatever we must do to carry out what he has spoken. Sisters, it's not about more activity. It's about more listening and responding. And I'm going to talk so much more about listening. And there's more than we listen with our ears, true, but we listen with our emotions. As I shared before, envy is an emotional clue. All of our emotions are clues. We listen with our emotions. We listen with our life. The patterns and problems in our life are a powerful clue to what God is wanting to do through us. Listen with your mind. That's why Deb wants to give you this test and get you thinking and challenging you. We need to listen with our lives. Listen with our whole spirit and soul to what God is saying so that we can walk in humble obedience. Today's confidence boosters. We don't have to do anything for God. We get to be used by Him. And we focus on cultivating that listening heart, that listening relationship with the living God, rather than following a list of rules and pursuing a bunch of programs. Stepping into your calling with confidence won't happen based on self-confidence and what you can do for God. It will happen when you discover God confidence and focus all of your energy on who He is and what He can do, wants to do, and will do through you when you discover and begin to walk in God confidence. Well, we are out of time, so I'm going to ask my bestie to close us in prayer.
Okay. Wow. Heavenly Father, oh, Lord, You have just bestowed upon us a crown of freedom through this teaching today. Just have removed the yoke and the burdens that we have and have just lifted those off of us, Lord, and we thank You and we praise You for Your Son, Jesus, who makes all of this possible, Lord. Lord, I just thank You so much for each woman on the call today. I thank You that You have cleared their schedule, and I thank You that they were willing to give You this time. I pray that what has been sown into them, that they would reap 100-fold in their lives. I pray for protection over each one of them and their families as they undertake this class. And Lord, we just thank You for Your love and Your hugs today, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.